don't we pray and then we'll read our Bibles. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us and being good. Thank you for giving us these moments we can come together as your body and open your word and read together. Thank you for your promise that whenever we do that, that your word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It reaches inside, you reach inside of us when we read your word. And you expose us to ourselves, you expose us to you. So God, I pray that you would do that now, that you would cause us to repent of sin, and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, a couple more questions. I think today is the next to last question. We'll see. Some of you will remember when we started this, I said, we're just going to do a quick little series, you know, a little filler series. And that was 24 weeks ago. That's like half of a year. So quick little filler. Today, the question, though, is why is it hard for me to obey authority? Why is it hard when people tell me what to do, go over there, do this? And I'm like, I don't like that. Why is it hard for us to obey authority? Why don't, and if you say, okay, this one doesn't apply to me. I'm pretty passive. I go along. I obey. I'm a good obeyer. I'm not a rebellious person. Are you? Really? Really? Are you sure? Don't you feel something? No matter how passive and submissive you are, don't you feel something on the inside when your parent or your boss calls you? Like, you feel that thing inside? How non-rebellious really are you? You know that thing you feel when law enforcement officer stops you and you're looking back in your window and all the thoughts that go through your mind? So much bigger fish to fry, whatever the thing that you think is. You know what, you feel that thing? We resist authority, right? I remember, even if it's passively, I lived in Honduras for a while and several years, and there was this trick that I was a missionary. I was a preacher. I obeyed authority. I didn't rebel against authority. I wasn't an outlaw, but I actively avoided the cops. And there were so many valid reasons for doing it. You know, the corruption, and they would just stop me because I wasn't doing anything wrong, but they wanted me to, you know, give something along with my driver's license as I passed out the window and pay the fine there on the spot. And so many valid reasons to do it. But here's what I would do. You'd be driving down the street, road, or a lot of times a freeway. So the car's going really fast. And there would be transit police on the side of the road. If you've ever been to a third world country, this won't surprise you. But if you haven't, this is the weirdest thing. They're stopping cars, but they don't have cars a lot of times. So there's guys with, you know, automatic rifles, and they're standing there on the side of the road. And if you make eye contact with them and they signal you to stop like that, that's all it takes. And you have to do it. Otherwise, they're authorized under the law to just open fire. So you have to stop. But if you don't make eye contact. So I became so skilled at driving down the street and never making, seeing them out of the corner of my eyes, never making eye contact, avoiding. We don't like people to tell us what to do. What's the first word we learn? Tiny, tiny little people. We wish it was mom and dad. It's no. It just comes out of us as soon as we can even start to open our mouths. If I were to tell y'all to move, everybody move over to this side, half of y'all would do it begrudgingly. The other half would say, well, why? And there'd be a couple people say, no, you'd find a reason. You would stay on the side that you're on. We're all rebels at heart. Some of us just hide it better than others. But we're all rebels. We don't like authority. We don't like to obey our parents or the law, pay our taxes are coming. I wrote it. I didn't even think of it. Now I'm saying it's like taxes are coming. Like right now, church leaders, older brothers who I was the older brother, so I never experienced this, but I saw it in my siblings. Older siblings take care of you, your boss, teachers, God. And we cover it up. We don't like to obey. So we cover it up. And what do we say? Sometimes we justify. Why are they telling me to do that? Who gives them the right? That we used to work side by side and now he's my boss? Why does he get to tell me what to do? I would obey, but that person's not a good leader. If they were a good leader, I would, absolutely, but they're not. Or we disobey, but we hide it. You know, I have two children, and they probably won't hear this, so one of them, if he's not going to obey, I know about it. As soon as I'm telling him, I see it in his eyes, and then he'll say no. I mean, just like right there, rebellion. The other one is so sneaky. Just as rebellious, though, but he doesn't come right out, and you got to catch him in the rebellion and in the disobedience. They're both equally disobedient. They're really good boys, but, you know, rebellious like all of us. And so when it comes to us, we have to decide. If I'm going to do something, I want to be the one deciding I'm going to do it. If I'm going to do something, I want to be the one. I want it to be my idea. And if not, I'm going to say no, or else I'll ignore it, or else I'll fight back against it, or else I'll do it begrudgingly, and I'll talk bad about the one who told me to do it, or I'll do the opposite, whatever it is. And as we go through life, this rebellious tendency we all have causes us problems, doesn't it? I mean, can't you look back, if you've lived long enough, look back and see a life littered with kind of like, you know, the potholes in a road, with all the times that I missed that opportunity. I didn't have that relationship with my parents that I could have. I missed this other opportunity. I didn't do that thing that I wish I would have, but they told me to do it. And so I'm not going to do it because you told me to do it. We look back on our lives and we see the effects of our rebellion, and it affects us in a negative way. Our life is marked with problems caused by our rebellion. So what's the authority in your life? And what's the authority that grates under your skin? If that person were to be here right now and look at you, you'd be like, they're going to tell me something and I don't want them to. Why is it so hard for us to obey authority? The answer is pretty simple. We come from a long line of rebels. That's why. If we were in Star Wars, we would be on the good side. We come from a long line of rebels. We carry it in our blood, if you will. It's in our nature. It started with, look at Isaiah chapter 14. It started with Lucifer. It started with the great archangel Lucifer, who rebelled against God. Look at Isaiah 14, verses 12 and 15. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you were cut to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, this is a double prophecy. It's talking about someone literally, but it's referring back to Lucifer. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Lucifer said that. He wanted to be his own God. And then our first parents did the same exact thing, spurred on by the now fallen Lucifer. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it. So he's enticing her to do the one thing that God told them not to do. So if there's, and you know how that is. It's if there's one thing you can't do, that's the thing you want to do. We carry the same thing in our nature. So the woman and the man are being enticed to do the thing the one thing that God said not to do. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And listen, you will be like God. What did we just read in Isaiah? I will ascend my throne to where God's throne is. To the woman, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and then she gave some of it to her husband who was with her, and he ate. They rebelled against God. They wanted to be their own God. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be the God of their lives, to know good and evil, to make their own decisions, to be their own sovereign. See, rebellion is part of our nature. It's part of who we are. It's no surprise that the first word we learn is no, because it's baked into us. It's who we are. See, all authority comes from God, right? He's the king of the universe. He has all authority, and he made us in his image, to be like him, to reflect who he is, so that we would live in submission to him and reflect him to everyone. And rebellion is a perversion of being made in the image of God. It's those who are made in the image of God to be like him, saying, I want to be not like that. I want to be that. I don't want to reflect the one who has all sovereignty. I want to have all sovereignty, at least in my life. So no, you can't tell me what to do. And I do what I want. And only God can judge me. And I make my own decisions. And all the things we say, you're not the boss of me. I want to be my own God. So our rebellion, the reason why it's hard for me to, when I look in the rearview mirror and I see a police officer, is please don't stop me because I know I'm going to feel if you do because it's totally unjustified and it's not fair. And there's other people. Our rebellion, right, when my boss pops up on my phone, is like, ugh, and then he'll tell me something to do and I'll have to do it. Our rebellion, that thing baked into us is part of our rebellion against God. Our rebellion against earthly authority is because we want to be our own sovereign. It's a fruit of our rebellion against the true sovereign, against God. That's why it's hard for us to obey authority. So what should we do with that rebellion? What do we do with that thing that's baked into us from the time, almost from the time we're born, the time we know how to say no to our parents? What should we do? Look at Romans chapter 13. The God who made us in his image, the King of the universe, the one who truly has all authority, he tells us what to do with the earthly authority that we run up against. So look at Romans 13. We'll just read for a minute here. This is one of those verses that, it's not a fun verse to read, just as a fun passage to read. So just go with me, and I know that this is not a good one. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. And then he says something so absolute. There is no authority except from God. And those that God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And I wish that he would parentheses caveat that. I wish he would put some less general. It's overwhelming. It encompasses all authority. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's what it says. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, and if you read verse 3 and you say, well, yeah, but they didn't have corrupted authority in their day. They did. That's existed always. And so he goes on, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger, carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed, then taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And this passage drops in the middle of you and I saying, I don't like people to tell me what to do, and I resist that, and I cross my arms, and I say no, and I stomp my foot, and in my own adult way, I do the little fit thing. And it challenges us to change how we see authority. It tells us, God's opinion, in God's eyes, authority isn't irrational. Isn't that irrational person that just bothers us and has no right to tell us what to do? That if we were in their place, we would totally do it different and do it better. That person I can ignore if I'm able to and kind of sneak around and get around and avoid eye contact so they don't get to tell me what to do. No, what does this say? All authority, all earthly authority comes from God. It's been established by him. God put it in place. Look at verse 1 again. For there is no authority except from God. That is so overarching. And those who exist have been instituted by God. Look at verse 4. For he is God's servant for good. He is a servant of God, later on in that verse. Therefore, God has established all earthly authority. From the person who tells you no, to the police officer, to your boss, to your coach, whoever the authority that is over you in any particular moment is, it says all authority comes from God. And if you resist that, you're resisting God, all authority. When they tell us what to do, we're supposed to think they can do that because God has given them the authority to do that. They can do that. They can tell me what to think or what to do because God has given them that authority. And he doesn't caveat it. He doesn't say only the good ones or only the ones who have good motives. He says all. And so that then leads us to change, or challenges us anyway, to change how we react to authority, how we react to the person who taps on our windshield and roll down your windshield and let me see your license. And when our boss comes into our cubicle or invades our work time with, how dare he, with a phone call and tell us what to do. When the teacher says, and I need this by Monday, when your parent tells you what to do. This should change how we react to that authority. This should totally change how we react. Instead of resisting, we should obey. We should submit ourselves. Aren't those the words that he says? Whoever resists the authorities, verse 2, resists what God has appointed. Let every person, verse 1, be subject. That's obey. He's talking about submitting. He's talking about not resisting. He's talking about going along with the authority that God has put over. Because, which makes sense, because if all authority comes from God, then our reaction to that authority should be, okay, whatever you say, I'll do. It's not a value. Look at what's missing out of this. There's not the whole, I get to make my own decisions, evaluation of everything. I'll do it if I agree with what you're saying, if you're a good leader, if I want to do it, if I can't avoid you. It's, yes, I'll obey, because obeying that authority is obeying God. I wish that never got through to me when I was a young person. There were moments when I got it, but there were so many moments when it didn't. That totally just messed up how I obeyed my parents and how I reacted to my parents. It messed it up completely. And it's messed up every authority relationship that I've had in my life up until this moment, because within me, I want to say no and shake my fist and do my own thing. But this says I should obey, because if I obey the authority that God's put over me, I am obeying, directly obeying God, and disobeying that authority is disobeying God. That's what we should do. When they tell us what to do, we should think, I'm going to obey God, and then we should do what that person is telling us to do. And if you're at this point and you say, that's craziness. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I mean, I get the logic from that passage. That has to be one of those one-off passages, like being baptized for the dead in Corinthians. One of those weird things that we couldn't base a whole doctrine on this. Why would anyone do this? Well, not a one-off passage. It's a very well explained, thought out passage. It's a long passage. It has context. But why would we do this? Well, look back to chapter 12. See, in chapter 12, what Paul does is he kicks off a new section of Romans. He goes from some theoretical, here's what the gospel is, here's what God does for you, and then he goes into, here's how you then should live. And part of that is chapter 13, where he says, all authority is established by God, so obey it. And then he kicks off that whole passage by giving us the motivation up front, by saying, this is why you would do all the stuff that I'm going to say in the following verses. And so he says, chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, this is why you would do this, by the mercies of God, or because of the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then he goes into very specific things that we do when we present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, part of which is, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. What's he saying? We're to be motivated by the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, what God has done for us by giving himself, by giving his son on the cross, by bringing us, by pouring out over us all of his mercy. Because of God's abundant mercy, we're supposed to give ourselves to him. And part of giving ourselves to him is submitting to the authority that he puts over us and saying, yes, I'll obey, because, not because I want to, but because you're my Lord and you've saved me. So I will do what you want me to do. One more question. What do you think happens when God's people individually say, I'm going to submit to the authority that God's put over me, whether it's my parents or my boss or whoever, whatever, in any moment, the authority God puts over me, what do you think happens? Look at verse 5 again, chapter 13. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. We submit to God. We're submitting to God as we submit to the authority he's put over us. That's what happens. We live lives that are more and more surrendered to our King. We have a conscience that is cleaner and cleaner because as we're submitting to him, as we're submitting to the authority he's put over us, we're submitting to him, and we become people who are less and less in rebellion against the one who made us and more in submission to him. And there's one other thing that happens. Look at one more passage. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 11. You could call this an alternate passage to Romans 13. We could have done just this one, but I want us to look at one thing in this passage. So look at verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Very general instruction. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. So he's saying very generally, live as God's children. And then he's going to say why, and he's going to come back to this motivation later, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visitation. He's talking about how the way we live demonstrates our faith in God and the relationship that we have with God. And then he goes in a very specific direction. So that was very general. Then he goes in a very specific direction. I think this is all connected because at the end of verse 12, hang on. I won't shake your hand afterwards, sorry. Okay. Be subject. So he goes in a very specific direction as far as how to obey God. And he's going to talk about other things, but the first one he goes to is this. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. That's another way of saying what Paul said. All authority. Whether it be to the emperor supreme or to the governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, so he's going to say what happens when we do that, when we submit to authority that God's put over us. For it is the will of God that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. That's surrender, submission language. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. What's he saying? Look at verse 15 again. It becomes part of our testimony, becomes part of what we display to the world. It's not just that I am living in more submission to God, but everybody sees that. Because how odd is it when someone from a joyful heart says yes to what their boss says yes to what their teacher says, it doesn't have an issue with the cop who pulls them over, just is okay with the authority that God's put over them. That's weird. And if we, as God's people, live like that, if we are surrendered to the authority that God's put over us, Peter says, it's not just what Paul says, it's not just our conscience before God and us surrendering more to God. People see that. It becomes part of our public testimony. We proclaim to the world that we are not living in rebellion like everyone else is. We're people who are called to be surrendered to the King of the universe, and we show that by being surrendered to all the authority that he puts over us. It is a testimony to the world. See, surrender to God, surrender to the authority he puts over us, is not just being better employees or better children or better students or whatever the thing may be. It's connected to great spiritual power. Submitting ourselves to the police and our boss, to whoever has authority over us, is connected with the God's authority. And as we submit to them, we're submitting ourselves to God, and we're publishing, we're proclaiming, we're putting on display our relationship with the King of the universe, and not just the fact that we go to church on Sunday, but that we are surrendered to his authority. It's a public way of showing that. And the opposite is also true. When we're snarky with our boss and rebellious and man, I can't believe it. Why would they stop us? And we're showing the same rebellion that got us here in the first place. So what should we do? Well, if you're not a Christian, you should submit to the biggest authority in the universe. If not, being a person who submits to your boss and to your parents, that really doesn't matter at the end of the day, because you're still in rebellion against the king of the universe. So this is nothing more than an invitation for you to end your rebellion, to give yourself to the king of the universe by deciding to follow him, by just giving yourself to him, by repenting and being baptized, by becoming a follower of Jesus, accepting him as your savior and Lord. That is the act of submission to God. That is the biggest act of submission that you will ever do in your life. That is so much better than being happy when the cop pulls you over. That is the most incredible act of submission that you could ever perform in your life. And when you do, you receive forgiveness. God fills you with his spirit. For those of us who are Christians, well, the application, I think, is for us to submit ourselves to every authority that God has put over us. So who are the authorities that God's put over you? And when is it difficult for you to obey them? When does that thing well up inside of you? Which ones are the ones that you resent? You just can't believe that person gets to tell you what to do. When do you regularly disobey? So for you and I, challenge is the next time that you're in that moment of, do I submit happily as if I was submitting to God or not? It's thinking, okay, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey God by submitting myself to that authority, whatever that authority is. I'm going to obey God by submitting to that authority. Can we stand in here while we pray? Let's see. Okay, why don't we stand and then we'll pray together and see? Submission to authority. Oh, God, thank you for being good to us and for loving us. Thank you for giving us these moments to come together as a family, to remember Jesus, to listen to your word being proclaimed. God, I pray that you would convict us of the rebellion that lives actively in each one of our hearts. That we hide and we disguise and we don't think it's rebellion against you, but you've told us today it is. God, I pray that you would help us to be a people who puts on display our surrender to you through our visible surrender to the authorities that you put over us. And that would proclaim loudly who we are and what you've done in us, that we are your people and that you are our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.